This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop talking with Dez from Devil Driver. New album, Dealing with Demons 1, out on Napalm Records. First off, man, are you, I'm assuming, staying home these days a lot and kind of just staying safe and that down in California, right?
Yeah, I'm in California. We've been quarantining actually since January. You know, last year, my wife had a fight with cancer and went in to do surgeries and stuff and came out of that, you know, thankful that she, you know, she's alive now, right? And so the first thing I didn't want to do was bring any of that home. So we've been quarantining since January, and I've always been a guy who's had, you know, once I found Instacart, it's like, wait, someone will do my grocery shopping for me? I hate going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
So we're keeping safe, and anytime we're out, we're wearing masks as well and stuff. So yeah, that's what we're doing, is kind of hunkering down. You know, I've been writing a lot, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so that, I guess that's kind of leads into my next question. We covered the safe part. Now, what's been keeping you sane during this?
Music, just music. I'm diving back into my vinyls collection that I collect. I'm listening to a lot of like old punk rock and stuff. I've been writing constantly. The band is writing, and I've received a few new tunes already that are incredible.
Nice.
So yeah, it's like music and music and music for me, and more music. I'm not really a sit down in front of the TV for hours kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And idle hands for me are the devil's workshop, because I'm only 4 or 5 years sober now off alcohol. So I just got to keep busy, you know.
Oh man, congratulations. I just got 5 years sobriety recently, so congratulations.
Congratulations, man. I mean, in my industry, it's a difficult thing, right? But it does get to a certain point where it's like, you know, I was never like a massive drinker. Just having like a cocktail a night or two cocktails after the show, and then I realized, well, I just played 280 shows. How many cocktails was that? I just did 28 years on the road.
Mm-hmm.
How many cocktails? So yeah, I just, something spiritual inside me said, hey, let's drop this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a marijuana advocate.
Okay.
Because I suffer from ADD and ADHD my whole life. And I don't think without that, I wouldn't even sleep at night, to be honest with you. You know, now I'm really into smoking this Canisu, which is just almost THC free.
Okay.
It's like real heavy, just CBD.
Okay.
And it's like the clarity that comes from that as well is so good. So, yeah, man. So congratulations on your sobriety, man. I mean, I have found that it really changed life for me, man. And anybody around me that's gotten sober off of alcohol that really actually drank daily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their life changes in the most miraculous ways. I could go, we could have another 2-hour conversation just about that, you know?
It's great to see people like, you know, in the wildlife of like a rock star and metal musician. I mean, you could talk to Randy Bly, he's the same way, and you know, he had a wild life with substance abuse and stuff, and it's cool to see people out there that, you know, you're playing gigs where that stuff's all around, but you're still able to kind of, you know, take the straight and narrow.
Yeah, well, I mean, there you're talking about Randy. You're talking about my bro. You know, he actually has a room here at the house.
Like,
he has towels here. He has towels here with R's on them that I put up. So when he comes, he feels like he's at home. But he's part of our company, Sun Cult, that we all run together. It's like a punk rock skate surf thing.
Totally.
But yeah, if you really talk to Randy too, he went through it, and I saw him in his early years on Ozfest. Like, I saw him wasted at 10 a.m. in the morning walking around. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And him and I were kind of in the same boat. Like, let's party. And a real, like, important person in my life came up to me, and we won't make this whole thing about sobriety because a lot of people will get, you know, just turned off, you know,
for sure.
A lot of people, metal is like synonymous with like beers and whiskey, which, you know, I got to be honest, it is, right?
Yeah.
So it is. So, and you know, it is. And I this guy said to me one night, we were just having this normal conversation, not even about alcohol. And he said, you know, man, at a certain age, holding the bottle of whiskey doesn't look good on a guy. And I thought to myself, oh, dude, you're so right. Like, a 21-year-old kid backstage with a bottle of, you know, Jack in his hand, you know, may look cool, but you get 35, 40, 45, 50, it doesn't look good. It looks like you don't have your stuff together. And
fair
so
enough.
I'm not about that, you know?
For sure, man. Well, like you said, you know, that, but congratulations on that. And but also congratulations on the new album, Dealing with Demons. See how I segue there? I'm a radio professional.
Yeah. Thank you so much. This thing has been getting critical acclaim.
So
let
awesome.
Me just go right into it. I've been doing it all day so I could just explain it real
quick.
The thought behind Dealing with Demons was this. I got a lot on my mind. If you've ever interviewed me before, I don't tell you what songs are about. So if you're like, Dez, this song got me through a hard time, and I tell you that it's about a rainy day and you thought it was about a sunny day, it's going to ruin your whole vibe, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a different time. This is a time for me to really get into some things. Demons that bother me about myself that I need to like be very personal and tell people about. So like, keep away from me is about my agoraphobia, social distancing my whole life. How I don't do well in crowds more than 10 people I don't know. And if I tell you I'm coming to your Grammy Awards party, I'm probably not,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, so... it's kind of touching base with a lot of like a lot of things I want to discuss, and also society's ills. You know, Nest of Vipers is about loyalty and how it can be bought and sold in personal life and in business life, and how we should stay away from those kind of people. Iona, one of the releases, is about how we need, like, how do we have this love for murder porn TV? Like, I got to get home and watch CSI, you know, or when I ask you what your favorite horror film is, this is timely because it's Halloween.
Yep.
It's like, people are like, you know, Michael Myers, Halloween,
yep.
or, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I'm like, dude, those are snuff films. Like, can you go watch an animal get skinned alive and killed on video on YouTube? Probably not. How do you go watch a movie where 12 women get skinned and killed and put up on meat hooks? It's like, so these are things, society's ills and my own ills that I want to discuss.
Okay.
And I want each song to kind of be a talking point amongst people. Like, yeah, hey, why does my roommate sit in his room and watch, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre daily? Time to move. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the album has been so well received. It's unbelievable. I mean, 9 out of 10s, 10 out of 10s.
That's so
we just
cool.
got the word today that we're number one on radio right now. We just knocked a pretty big band off, to be honest with you. So I don't know. Whenever I do a piece of art, I tend to bury my head.
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens. Otherwise, you find yourself trying to skew your art or whatever, you know. And I'm real appreciative and very humbled at what's going on with Dealing with Demons. And then the thought process of a double record was, let's do a double record staggered release.
Uh-huh.
Let's do the world twice over 3 years. Then come home for a nice long break, which I haven't had in 28 years. Let's take a year off, which I've never done. Now COVID hit.
This is the year off.
yeah. So now I've been home longer than I've ever been home in my career. And now I can't wait to get a stage underneath me and get a mic in my hand and you know, get on the tour bus again. So yeah, that's the story behind Dealing with Demons. And what I'm finding is on social media, a lot of people are hitting me up. Like,
that's awesome.
Dude, I heard your interview. Like, I agree with you on that. Or I feel like that too around crowds. Or, wow, Nest of Vipers really struck me because I had someone, you know, that I thought was loyal to me in business and they took it all last week. And, you know, it's so now I'm finding, oh, wow, talking points are a really good idea.
And maybe,
you know, maybe for the last 28 years, I should have been telling people what I'm writing about, but it is what it is. It's come full circle now, and I feel free to give my heart out and let people know what I'm writing about, you know?
Hey man, you've done the artistic side where you kind of just leave it, you know, for them to interpret, and now you've done it this way, and you know it's cool that you kind of know both ways, and so that's right.
Yeah, and it was about me kind of saying, okay, I've been here a long time, right?
Yeah.
So if you follow me this long, like, let me get extra personal. Like, you almost deserve it.
Yeah.
Especially for the person who's like, dude, I was 12 years old when I heard you in Cold Chamber, mm-hmm. or whatever, you know, and now they're whatever 30, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, here's something real personal. I probably chose the wrong job. Here's a song called Keep Away From Me.
Yeah.
You know? So it's interesting, man, right? It's interesting when you start really kind of sharing of yourself. It's been interesting for me. It's really kind of grown me as a person and as a writer. And now I'm finding myself, the stuff that I'm writing is just, you know, extra, extra personal to me. And I can't wait to share more music with everybody.
That's cool, man. I'm stoked to hear kind of, obviously there's like an evolution, and like, it sounds like you're getting more personal now and going a little, you know, more inward. Do you think, because you have more time on your hands these days, we're going to get more of that?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I've been writing, the band has been writing.
Yeah.
We can't wait to, you know, now we've released this volume one. We can't wait to release volume two. I'm telling you, volume two is my baby.
Nice.
Like, I wanted that record to come out first. But because Keep Away From Me and Wishing was on this record, everybody around me, including the band and everybody, like I said, I kind of bury my head in the sand once the art is done, and they can mm-hmm. choose what songs come out and all of that. I don't want to be part of that.
Yeah.
Wishing was a big deal for us to release, because it explores very much my Bauhaus, Sisters of Mercy, Fields of the Nephilim goth side.
Yeah.
I'm very much a goth punk kid.
Mm-hmm.
I only found metal because I found Motorhead, and actually, hilarious, I actually
That's
thought
awesome.
They were a punk band.
Yeah.
You know,
totally.
Before I saw a photo of them. So, you know, here we release my first clean vocal in Devil Driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a statement in 2000 on a DVD that you'd never hear clean vocals in Devil Driver. I did 75% of that clean in Cold Chamber back in the day, right?
Yeah.
And, but I guess what I was actually saying was the whole metalcore thing where they skew the chorus to get to radio. I didn't want to do that. I felt that, in a great analogy, is a painter. Again, a painter saying, if I paint with red paints, I'll sell a million records. And he starts, or a million paintings, and he starts painting with red paint. He's just diluted his art and skewed his art for money. And I never wanted to do that. So I digress here. But that song is a very kind of gothic verses, and then a real heavy, heavy chorus. And mm-hmm. that is a very heavy song. Wishing is a very heavy song about, you know, somebody that walked away from your life, somebody that died, somebody that you maybe can't find anymore, and you wish you would have said something. You wish they would come back to your life. You're wishing for them. You're wishing they'd come back to you.
Yeah.
And this left them lonely and unloyal and this and that. And I just, you know, that song to me now, I wasn't sure I was going to make the record,
yeah.
to be honest with you.
Huh.
And now to hear people's opinion of that tune, and really kind of, you've heard a million bands come out and metal bands and do clean vocals, and they get ruined in the first interview. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
I mean, it's true. I could name you 10 bands right now, and you're like, what? They have one clean vocal on the record. I'll never listen to them again. So it's a frightening thing, but I tend to make brave moves.
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing that it was very, very Bauhaus-y, actually, We ran with it. And thankfully so. I didn't want to. I didn't want to release it as a single, but my manager, who's my wife, and the band and the label, and everybody's like, this is incredible. And I was like, well, okay. And we ran with it on the fifth single, because I didn't know if it would do anything. You know?
Yeah.
I say jokingly now, like, I might have led with it on the first single, like, if I knew.
You knew that you would get that reaction, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a very organic thing that's happening.
Yeah.
And, I'm looking at it like, huh, okay, cool. And, you know, so here we go, you know, and volume two will come out sometime next year.
Cool.
Not a huge monetary asset to releasing in the middle of a pandemic. It's why a lot of bands pulled their records.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. So, like, was that even a discussion point for you guys, or did you just want to get it out there for the fans to really get something to hold on to during this time?
Dude, I would say like March, April, I started to see like every band pulling their record,
mm-hmm.
And I got to say, I got pissed. Like I got angry about it. I was like, are you kidding me? But you know, even the label's like, hey, not a good monetary move, or not our label, but a lot of other labels, like, not a good monetary move. And I was like, that's not what music is about, man. Look, we're going through a pandemic. What saves lives? For me, music saved me. I was like, you need to give people art. You need to give people music. So that was never a talking point with me. I remember a team phone call where we were all on with everybody from the label. And we were like, hey, we're putting our foot down. We are definitely releasing. And everyone at the label was like, we agree with you. Even though you may take a monetary hit. We agree with you. And now in hindsight, look, Matt, we came out number four on the rock charts. I mean, it was like Corey Taylor, Queen, Deftones, Devil Driver.
That's pretty huge. That's
and I was like,
good company.
And I was like, well, oddly enough, we're definitely the heaviest thing on that.
I mean,
and the Tones are amazing. It's one of my favorite bands. One of the greatest guys ever. But I mean, Devil Driver, you know, we're heavier. Let's face it. So very odd to me. I was like, okay, And here we are. You know, it's crazy. I mean, to use the word organic is very true with this record and how this has gone. I mean, when we told the label we wanted to release five singles before we were coming out, it was like, Like, we're going to do things different. Like, anybody can buy into a record hearing one or two singles and go stream it or download it. But if you give them five, they may find something they don't like and be like, okay, now I don't really want to hear it. But it's just the opposite. We released five tracks and people were like, thank you. I'm definitely hooking up with this record. And I think it was a correct move. We also had a really long rollout. I mean, I'd say 5 month rollout is the longest rollout I think metal's ever seen, you know, but we did it in a timely manner, you know, giving people a music video or giving people a song every, you know, 3 to 4 weeks. I think it was an important move to do that as well.
They're getting pumped for it, man. It's like, it's that they're ready for it, man. They're ready for it. And then they finally get it. And it's, you know, it's given them like that lead up. It's badass. It's really cool that you can do that.
Thank you, man. I mean, look, there's when I say humbled, I mean it, man. I'm very appreciative. I mean, it's very rare that a band of our ilk kind of gets played on certain radio stations. I mean, it's hard to do. But a lot of people are taking to Devil Driver right now. And I mean, I'm very appreciative of it, you know. And it's they're taking to it not from a move that was skewed, not from me going, hey, if we paint with red paint, we'll get there. Because certainly, you know, certainly the verses are clean on like a wishing, but the chorus is so heavy. It's like, you know, I had no idea it would get spins, and here we go. And that's how I like to see it happen. If it happens organically, then it happens. I mean, I could go way back in my career to you in Cold Chamber and say, you know, that when we did a song with Ozzy, we did actually Shock the Monkey with Ozzy, which when we heard back, but when we heard back, like even the Osbourne camp, when we were listening to it, we were all were like, okay, this is not the single, you know, this may or may not propel the brand, but hey, it was fun to do, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing. You're doing a song with Ozzy, you know, he's the dream guy you want to work with, right? And then that song, like third or fourth single, ended up to be like all over the place. So if it happens organically, I can kind of like put my flag up, because I don't do anything in my life that's skewed. So, yeah, I find humbled, appreciative, spilling out of my mouth, especially after almost a 30-year career. And now we're at the top of the top where you can get where we are right now. And it's magical. It's a, frankly, it's a very magical time. And when you have something like this happen with anything, with any kind of career, you set yourself up for another 5 or 10 year run. And, you know, of course, there'll be stuff people don't like along the way, you know, if you do it right, actually. But I think it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen in the next 5, 10 years in Devil Driver.
But that's the beautiful thing about it, is you're set up for success, and it's gradual success. You guys have been killing it for a long time. It's not like you just make one hit single and then all of a sudden you blow up out of nowhere after, you know, just starting the band. You guys have been grinding and, you know, gradual success and getting bigger and bigger. And then, you know, you hit a moment and you take off in a certain way. It's like you're entire you're built for it, you know, and it's not your first rodeo.
Yeah, no, it's not. And my wife said it best to me the other night. She said, "You know what you're addicted to?" And I said, "No, God, let me hear it. Let me hear it." You've been with me like over 20 years. Like, let me hear it. She's like, "You're addicted to seeing if you can build something." So, like, yeah. I have several businesses I do, and I run them at a high level. And when stuff like this happens to you, you have to stop. I mean, she even said this the other night, you have to stop and reflect on what's going on now with what's happening in your life. So yeah, not our first rodeo. We certainly have grinded a long career. People know us as like the hardest touring band out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know too many people that'll put in, you know, 300 days on the road. I mean, a year. And, that being said, I've been home so long now. I mean, if I heard a tour bus coming up my street, I would hear it like a mile away. I would feel the vibration and I would run out there. So hopefully we can all return back to shows soon, you know?
Well, I wanted to ask about this because it seems like you're definitely, possibly setting your son up for following in your footsteps. Your son Simon Blade, he does guest vocals on the song "You Give Me a Reason to Drink" on the new album. What was that like, including your son on a track? And then I guess, is he interested in following in your footsteps? Does he want to be a lead vocalist?
Right. So Simon Blade is his middle name. He actually guested on a track called "Fighting Words,"
which
is a Devil Driver staple. I mean, it's one of the songs we play almost every day. And he did that when he was 9 years old.
Oh, my God. That's so sick.
And then he plays me in the "Clouds Over California" video.
Oh, cool.
When he was that young. So for people, you know, that are listening, to go check that out. He, I think, always kind of knew he wanted to do it. And then he was in the studio with me doing "Give Me a Reason to Drink." He's like, "Hey, Dad, I'm around. I want to come in the studio today. What track are you working on?" And what was cool is not only working with my son, but having a little bit of a teaching moment, right? So he's like, "Tell me what the song is about. Give me a reason to drink." And I said, "You know, those days when you want to come home and you just want to have a beer and two shots of whiskey real quick because your day has been horrible."
Yeah.
I go, and frankly, son, that usually makes the day worse. You get pissed at someone, you end up crying in your beer. It's the worst, and that's not what you want to do. And he's like, "I want to jump on this track." And I thought to myself, well, we're in the process right now of recording your first 6-song EP. I've already heard 4 of the tracks that he's done, and it's incredible. We're hoping to drop it next year.
That's awesome.
I said, "You know what?" I said, "Lyrics are up there in the booth. Go in and hit whatever you want." And he went in and hit the chorus, and he just blew it away. Got to keep in mind that this kid's lows are lower than mine, like death metal lows, if he wants.
Yeah.
His high screams are insane. And his clean vocals, like, I'd put that stuff up against any clean vocal singer. I mean,
that's awesome.
Anybody, Corey Taylor, anybody out there. Yeah, he's come on stage with me several times, and crowd goes insane.
Yeah.
I mean, in L.A., I couldn't – it's funny. I couldn't even hear the beginning of the songs. People were going so nuts when he came out with me when we played L.A. proper. So it's exciting to, A, work with my son, B, see him following in my footsteps. I think – he's the one, like, if I had to take time off or something else and Devil Driver still wanted to tour, I mean, he has a little bit ways to go with a crowd rapport, kind of how I do.
For sure.
But he could do it. He could kill it. And he can mimic me if he wants, but he doesn't sound like me, you know?
Yeah.
Which is awesome, you know, because he has his own tone, his own sound. So we'll see what's going to be happening with the kid. I mean, I'm passing the torch for sure. I have 3 sons. My oldest is an insane guitar player. He actually lives outside of Seattle.
Oh, cool.
So hopefully he'll hear this. Tyler. He's got a song written about him in Cold Chamber called "Tyler's Song."
Nice.
So yeah, it's interesting. You know, my middle son is actually a manager here at Oracle, and he's killing it as well. Excuse me, he's killing it as well. So I don't know. It's interesting to watch my kids and how they are attracted to music.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
That's rad, man. Well, that sounds like an awesome family, like, dynamic and everything. I don't want to take up too much of your time, Dez, today, but I did have a couple more questions. You're a music lover, first off. Like, you know, you're steeped in, like, hardcore and punk and metal, and you said, like, goth music and, you know, that kind of stuff. What are just a few albums that have made a positive impact on your life?
Ooh. Well, I'll tell you what, let's do bands because it would be easier.
Okay, yeah, sure. Right? Just a few bands.
So, like, let's go to, like, Fear. If you're going to talk about punk rock, you want to talk about Fear.
More beer.
Black Flag for sure. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about goth, you want to go definitely to Bauhaus, to Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah.
Motorhead was a huge, massive influence on me. Danzig, Elvis, massive influence when I was younger.
Yeah.
That's kind of what got me into music, my parents' record collection and stuff. I'm a diverse cat, man. I listen to a lot of different stuff. So I like a lot of the underground stuff. So anything that's blues, jazz, heavy metal, punk rock, goth, kind of the underground arts. I never fell into the pop thing.
Okay.
And it's kind of what kept me out of liking, I would say, half the metal that's out there now is because I feel like it's skewed to be popish, to make it, and I know I'm well aware I'm talking to a radio station, it's skewed to like make it to radio.
Yeah.
And I can smell it a mile away, and I just, it's always kind of disgusted me. So I tend to go with like the more underground kind of stuff. I mean, The Damned is incredible.
Yeah.
That band.
Damned.
Yeah, The Damned. I mean, and then even, you know, there's bands out there that are like relatively newer. I mean, you know, newer compared to the stuff that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
But like Cancer Bats, I think, are amazing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good music out there for people right now, you know, and a lot of cool, heavy stuff as well, you know.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here since we're naming bands. Since we are a Northwest radio program, is there any Northwest bands from all time that you love?
I'm not really like familiar with regions, right?
Okay,
like,
fair enough.
Certainly I can call out like California punk bands and stuff like that.
Yeah, right?
But like name me a few bands like from that area.
The Accused, The Accused, Himsa. We got Soundgarden, Nirvana.
Okay, so all three of those, yes. People are gonna like throw things at me, but it was like never a Nirvana fan.
Okay, fair enough. Alice in Chains, stuff like that.
Oh my God, Alice in Chains, probably one of my favorite bands of all time. I never hit the Pearl Jam button, and I never hit the kind of the Nirvana button. I don't know why. In hindsight, should probably check out those works more because obviously, you know, great bands, they, you know, for what they've done. But Soundgarden, certainly. Alice in Chains, yeah, good Lord. Mother Love Bone. So
There you go.
Yeah, that's, yeah, incredible. One of the most incredible songwriters I've ever heard in my life. So, yeah, a lot of that stuff. But when grunge hit, I was doing Coal Chamber, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a different time, and I was into a lot of different stuff, you know? And I kind of equated the scene, equated the scene to like, you know, a flannel shirt, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then certainly when Alice in Chains came out, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, it's a cut above, you know? Yeah.
It's a cut above. I mean, I think Lane, probably one of my top five singers of all time. I mean, the same thing with Soundgarden, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can you touch Chris Cornell's voice? I was at his memorial at the Forum. We actually went with John Carter Cash, Johnny Cash's son, and his wife in their limo and stuff, and with some people from Sony, and we went to go watch that. And you know, it was a massive event, actually a lot of tears, including myself in the Forum. And Jack Black came out and he said the most incredible, like, analogy I've ever heard. He was talking about Chris Cornell's voice.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, one can only wish that you spoke about this after your passing. Right.
Yeah.
But his family was in the audience. And Jack comes up and says, you know, the thing about Chris, he didn't sing like any of you guys. He didn't have a note. He makes this like motion with his hand. He's like, he sang and he goes in between the notes.
Oh, wow.
He made his own notes. And bro, there was not a dry eye in the whole place. So certainly those bands are heavily influenced me for sure. And if not influenced me, whenever it comes on, I'm like, turn it up. Soundgarden for me, Bad Motorfinger is like just probably the most unbelievable thing you'll ever hear, you know.
Dude, I appreciate you kind of recalling that. I mean, that's an epic moment there. Now, Dez, last question for you, man. If you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it real quick.
That's an interesting one. a scar on my body and where I got it. Well, my nose has been broken twice because I liked to fight when I was a kid. So there's definitely a huge scar across my nose, and it's been broken twice, right? So, and not even to be dramatic and artistic, but like there's some scars on my heart I can never share, right? Yeah. That come from family issues or leaving home at an early age or, you know, being sent off to live with someone else, that kind of a thing that you never really get rid of. Fortunately, I can write songs about it or have the cathartic motion of like talking about it with you. So, yeah, that's... You know, without being dramatic, there are just definitely some scars on my heart that are hard to share, you know.
And the ones on the nose from being a brawler went in the young
days. Yeah, I've always been that kid. I'm 5'7" and a half, and I've always been real scrappy. I'm Italian, so if you talk wrong to me or my friends or my wife or something, I'm the first one in, and I was raised extremely blue collar. So on the job site, my stepfather is a contractor. On the job site, it was always about like, what'd you say?
Yep.
You know? And I never fixed my nose because I always want to look in the mirror and remember like that. So I can calm myself down and deal with things the correct way, you know?
Absolutely, man. Dez, thank you so much, man. New album, Dealing with Demons 1, available now on Napalm Records. Do you have any final words for the Northwest before I let you go?
Yeah, hopefully see you soon, man, because those are some incredible shows. So
yes,
let's get back to it. Everybody, look, just stay safe, stay sound. We'll all come out of this better as people. I know that. I know humanity's going to come out of this. I can't wait for music to come back. And
yes,
Seattle's always a great place to play. So thank you very much for having me, and I hope to get back at it soon. And thank you so much for your support. It absolutely means a great deal.
My pleasure, man. Thanks a lot for talking to you.
Thank you, brother. it's all good, brother. It's getting late. Thank you very much and have a great night.
You too, man. Bye.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.